Hello and welcome to The Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with Rod Murphy, who is the director of Problem Pregnancy in Worcester, Massachusetts, and also the author of the book Stopping Abortion at Death's Door. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rod. So last time you were here, you spoke a little bit about your book and how it was just being released. How well have the sales been going since then?
Well, it's kind of a narrow niche kind of market, not a whole lot of. It's never going to be a bestseller, but finding I sell it. It's been sold at Catholic bookstores and Amazon.com, things like that. So it finds it, the people who are interested kind of find it. So I probably sold less than 1,000 books.
Oh.
I haven't counted them lately, but I sell maybe one or two a week, you know.
But the idea is to get it into the right hands.
Yeah.
Because what you're trying to do is get more pregnancy centers like Problem Pregnancy right across the street,
yes,
or in very close.
That's
to
right.
The abortion mills.
That's the purpose of the book. The book isn't a sell book. The book,
right.
The book is to get the book into hands of somebody, or somebody's plural, who are trying to do something, put a CPC, put a crisis pregnancy center near a Planned Parenthood or another abortion clinic so that they can offer alternatives to the clients that are going in for an abortion. And if you are a mile from the place, you won't get the same opportunities,
right,
to save the baby and help the,
right,
mother as,
I
if
mean,
you
you're still
right
gonna help
door.
Women, but it's just you're not gonna get as many opportunities to,
right,
basically stop death at death's door.
Exactly. And they make the analogy of why do the bank robbers go to a bank? They go to the bank because that's where
the money is.
So we go to the place where they're killing a baby so that we can save some of them. So the book finds its bias in one way or another. I do a lot of social networking with Facebook. And this, by the way, there's a new thing which is very good that probably not many people know about. It's called Pro-Life Book. It's a Facebook only for pro-lifers. And it's only like less than a month old.
Wow.
And so that's
Pro-life
very helpful.
Book.
What happens is you friend with everybody.
Sure.
But everybody you friend with is one of us.
Right,
So that when I put something on Facebook about the book, it goes to ears that are willing to listen and think about it. So I'm selling some books there. So it go, and those people then email me, or not email me, but what do they call it? Message me with,
sure,
private message me, asking me what they should do in this case, in that case. And I'm talking to some people in Tampa, Florida, since that book. But I'm also talking to people in Indianapolis, actually, Fairbanks, Alaska.
Wow.
Buffalo, Kathy's father. People in Canada, a whole lot of other people. Philadelphia. So, and they're all in different stages. I've been working with some people in Manchester, New Hampshire, who just rented a space across the street from Planned Parenthood. They're really in their infancy. But they're using the book as the guide.
Yeah.
I've spoken to two groups of people up there, trying to get them to get behind the few people who are starting it. So, it does what I want it to do. It's slow though. It's
mm-hmm.
not a doesn't happen overnight.
Well, it's a big endeavor, and I know you've helped besides the Problem Pregnancy in Worcester. You've helped other people establish,
yes,
other ones, and one in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Stoughton, Mass. We opened one up in Athol, Mass. I've helped a Woman's Concern begin in Boston. The Providence Problem Pregnancy came to us in the beginning before they started.
Sure.
And I'm probably forgetting some others. Greenfield, Mass. We've helped them. I've been down to St. Gerard Center in Hartford,
mm-hmm,
talking to people down there. So, and I'm looking at Bridgeport too. Although my daughter lives down there, and she's very pro-life, and so I'm kind of looking down there. And my sister lives in Tampa, so I'm thinking I'm trying to get there. All that has given me a cause to think about a way to do this more efficiently, to find ways to open crisis pregnancy centers near the abortion mill so that babies could be saved.
Right.
I'm in the infancy stage of starting another group called Abortion Intervention Consultants, AIC, which would allow me to the money so I could go fly to Fairbanks, Alaska,
right,
or Indianapolis or Tampa, and spend a little time there, and also maybe be able to have enough money to help them a little bit,
right,
to give them the rent for the first 2 months, or something that would help them.
So you're finding that the book itself kind of plants the seeds, but they really need the gardener there to help them water.
It's not so much they need me, it's they need the confidence building.
Right,
see, they need that somebody has to say, yeah, it can be done.
Right.
We did it. Here's how we did it. Because everybody gets depressed about trying to start something new. You know something about that. You started a school, so you know that. And it's just so hard. The way I'm telling them to do it is even harder, because you do it with all volunteers, you know, and you start off with small money. So, and you got to build a fundraising, all that stuff is in the book, but they need somebody to kind of hold a hand a little
bit
too.
Right. Like I said, it kind of inspires you, but you know, it doesn't give you that oomph that you really need to just get out there and do it. Because you're right, most of the people who are out there are very humble. They really want to help the women and the children, and they just don't have the confidence.
The experience. A lot of them don't have experience, and they don't think they can do it. It's like, you know, so many, you hear it in sermons all the time that God takes the weakest readings and so forth. I mean, and he does.
I mean,
I'm a good example.
He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
He definitely does. So I think what I do when I pray is I ask him, what do you want me to do here? I'm doing this, and it seems to be going all right. What should I be doing now?
And that's always a scary thing, ask him that.
Yeah, but, you know, he's been telling me, I think, to do this.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, I don't have that root into God's brain, you know. But I do think that's what he wants. Every once in a while you get a little hint that's what he wants, you know. It's hard to know what you're supposed to do
I know, and that's something that you really do have to spend a lot of time in prayer.
So I got a guy who's very interested in helping me. He's a civil engineer. He's a big green energy guy and a solar energy guy, and he's nothing to do with this except that he's making some money.
Yeah.
And he has connections. So we're working together trying to get this going, and he's a very strong Catholic also. He homeschools his kids and everything. So, you know, we're on the same plane here, and so I'm hoping that this is what I'm supposed to do. If it is, I'll have to take a little income, which I never did before, from this new thing, so that I can leave my business. I have a business I still run.
Right.
So the guy asked me, this particular guy's name is Thaddeus. He asked me, he says, "Well, you're starting a whole new thing." He says, "How old are you now?" I said, "I'm 73." He says, "I said, I got a good 10 years." I said, "So I'm feeling pretty strong." I never even thought of it. You know, how old am I?
Yeah.
I still think I'm 22.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's where I am right now.
I mean, that's really good, and it's very, very important. And I can see how well this model works. You know,
yes.
I mean, and I think it's even better like during 40 Days for Life, because you've got the three prongs. You know, you've got the people out there praying,
right,
you've got the sidewalk counselors,
right,
and then you have the counselors inside. And it's amazing how it amazes me how many people cannot find Planned Parenthood. And they come in. I mean, we even had guys today coming in looking for condoms because they thought we were Planned Parenthood.
And so it's
really, it's amazing how God shields a lot of these women's eyes, that they cannot see the humongous building across the street.
With a great big sign.
With a big sign that says Planned Parenthood, and they come over to our little building that says Problem Pregnancy. And we have a lot of success in changing some of those women's minds.
It's also, it's just being smart helps too. I mean, I'm not that smart, but we're not that smart, but sometimes we are. And our sign is better than their sign.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not as big, it's more visible.
Fancy. Yeah.
It's more visible, it's straightforward. And we're getting smarter with the internet, as you know, and we're doing things so that we're getting more clients in. We've got to be taking them away from Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yeah.
So But you're right about the three different prongs there with the 40 days for life. Just the praying helps, and when the praying helps the sidewalk counselors, and the praying helps us when the girls come in and talking to us. So
absolutely,
it is great.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a beautiful system,
and it's all volunteer.
Yeah.
And nobody gets paid, and the only money we get goes to pay for the lights, and most of it goes to take care of the problems that the woman has when she comes in, like she's going to have an abortion because she hasn't got the money to pay the rent,
or
she's going to have an abortion because she's got child care, and how is she going to take care of if she's pregnant, she can't work, how is she going to pay for her other children's child care? We pay the child care. We pay
or
the rent.
Or her car's broken down.
Or she needs transmission.
I mean, just like, I mean, it's amazing the stories that these poor girls, their lives are.
So that's where the money goes. Money goes to that kind of stuff. And it actually, those are practical things.
Yeah.
It's amazing how children are running around because somebody bought fixed a transmission.
Right.
Because they're not dead, they're alive.
Yeah, or a crib.
Yes, or a crib.
And it's amazing that the obstacles that seem to be keeping these women from having a baby.
So this woman this young girl who grows up to be a scientist who invents some wonderful thing, the medicine that heals everybody, that would have been dead.
Yeah.
Except we paid for her to fix the transmission. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it is.
Whether she does or not, I don't care. But the fact is that could happen easily.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes you think of Jimmy Stewart and It's a Wonderful Life. And how just doing one little thing, in your everyday life affects so many different
dominoes.
People.
Dominoes.
So it's just it's been a wonderful experience. And have you met some interesting people from peddling your book?
Oh, yeah, all kinds of pro-life people are wonderful. I mean, just they're wonderful, and they're much the same all over the country, and much the same all over the world. They are almost all, but not all, but almost all believers, one kind or another. The kind I run in are mostly Catholic, but there's a lot of others too. And they're also determined. Some are less educated about the subject when they're coming along, and some of them are very smart about it. And and when you run into them, you kind of speak in shorthand to them because you don't have to go into the details. They know what you're talking about. You know what they're talking about. It's really great when you meet some of those people because
it's amazing how comfortable you can be with
people
a total stranger. And because you come from you're on the same plane.
Absolutely.
And it's very
and they all have that problem, which is this big abortion clinic killing people, and what can we do about it? And they can be the most liberal on economics thing in the world, but when it comes to abortion, they're conservative.
Yeah,
it's another thing you find out about them. So when it comes to politics and things like that, you're always on the same plane there too, because it's so obvious which party and which president which candidate should be the president. For instance, but we don't talk about that much. Yeah. More about efficacy. How do you save babies?
Yeah. And a lot of it, I mean, I think people are realizing too that more and more you have to talk about these things, and you can't just be afraid that you're going to offend somebody. Even like priests are afraid to talk about abortion because they're afraid of hurting the women who are sitting in the pews. But we're finding, a lot of girls that come in for counseling, they've had abortions, and they want to talk about it because they're hurting, and they want somebody there to understand the pain that they're going through, because, the world at large, it's like, don't worry about it, forget about it, what's done is done, but they're really, really hurting.
Yeah, it's true. You've seen them. We know some of them, and some of our counselors have had abortions. And some of them are still not quite healed, so we can see it. And I don't know whether the statistics are correct, but they say every 1 out of 4 women you see have had abortions. I don't know if that's true, but even if it isn't true, a lot of them have. So if I think the priests are also concerned about angering some of the people who have had abortions and shutting off the spigot for the donations.
But I mean, really, if we really love them, we want to bring them back into complete healing
and spiritually,
to get them back into the soundness.
The right expression is the one that JP2 used to say, and that is, "Be not afraid." And you can't be afraid if you're in this. You just can't be afraid, and you can't. It helps to be with me. I've been doing it for a long, long time now. And if I had a job with a company, and some of my employers were unhappy with what I was doing, it would be difficult. But I've almost always owned my own business, so I've been free to say what I wanted to say and do what I wanted to do as long as I could afford to do it. It's a little more difficult for some other people. I understand that, but still, you cannot not do some things that are important. If you have to do it, you do it. Take and come what may, whatever comes along, God will protect you.
Well, and you always do it in love, in the premise of that you're doing it because you love the person, and not in a judgmental way.
Yeah.
And where the pro-life movement, the pro-life people are the ones where you're going to experience that love and healing, and not being judged.
Yeah, and it takes courage to do what we do, and it also takes a lot of faith, because where do we get off thinking we can change someone's mind? You know, how do we? It's not us. It's
God. It isn't us.
We have a chapel in there, and every time I go in there, I say some prayers, and I suppose everybody else does, and we get the Eucharist there 24/7, and without that, it's 60 feet or 60 yards away from the abortion mill. That's important, very important. And, but you have to say, God wants me to do this, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And no matter what happens, no matter what they say, no matter how he's some kind of crazy pro-lifer, you know. Right.
I mean, you definitely have to put yourself out there and not worry about what other people think or say.
Right.
And it is a challenge, because every situation is different, and the girl who's coming in thinking that she's at Planned Parenthood and has an abortion scheduled, you have very little time, and you really have to in a quick amount of time, we get across the fact that you love them and that, you know, we can help you. And, every girl's different, and you have to rely on the Holy Spirit, too.
And you have to dig and find what their problem is, which is usually not that they're pregnant, that it's something else.
Right, right. And your heart goes out to every one of them, because you truly see Jesus.
Yes,
in each person that you counsel, you know?
Absolutely. And some of them are very unlovable. I mean, you know that. Very unlovable.
I haven't come across those yet.
But you have to love them anyway, right?
Yeah. No, they're
the ones that steal the TVs right out of our waiting room and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, those ones I missed. But you also put yourself out there. I know we've been vandalized a few times. We had the front door glass broken, a window in the back.
They threw what they tried to do was throw a firebomb into the building, broke the window. They graffitied the building a number of times. The devil is ecstatic. He's working, and he lives across the street there at Planned Parenthood. And those people, some of them, if they're students and they go to Clark, for instance, they get this women's study stuff that tells them that that's what they should do.
Right.
And then there are others who get it from the online. And then there's just crazy people who do it because it's fun to do.
Yeah.
It's not anything that we can live with it. The thing about it is, we call the police every time we record it, and document everything.
Yeah.
So.
And the police have been pretty good as far as
Yeah, they take notice of it.
Yeah.
They don't do anything.
Right.
Yeah. But at least they take notice. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll come by and talk to you. Yeah.
And the FBI realizes that stuff now too. They get letters from me every time we have one of those situations. So we have a document in case something really bad happens. You know, we're protected, like the abortion clinic is, under the FACE law, which is abortion. I can't even remember what the FACE, F-A-C-E. It's a law that protects abortion clinics and people going into any reproductive center or any medical center that have to do with reproduction.
Right.
So we're protected too.
Oh.
The FBI, it's a federal law. So that's why I call the FBI all the time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Keep it documented.
Yeah, and documented. Write letters.
So you're continuing to have your book out there, and you said it's you are kind of networking on Facebook and also the pro-life
book. You should look at
pro-life
that.
Book.
Pro-life book is the name. It's a Facebook type thing.
And this other organization, AIC.
Yeah. And it's still a
in the infancy.
Yeah.
But you're hoping to kind of spread this kind of model throughout the country.
It's a one man, one person kind of organization in the beginning, but I need the money to do it.
Sure. See?
And that's what's slowed it down so far. But I'm just beginning it, and I talk about God. God's telling me to do this.
Yeah.
He's got to come up with the dough.
Yeah.
See? And so far I haven't seen it. Hurry up.
and this would then help you be able to go to remote places.
Yeah. Like
right now, you said you can go to New Hampshire. And
yeah,
you
can
in
drive
to
there. Yeah,
yeah, and all the areas local.
Yeah. Norwich, whatever.
But you're getting calls from Tampa and Indiana.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I can't go to Tampa and spend a week down there. I can't do it.
Right. And when you go there, how do you help an organization?
Well, what happened is first, you get, the people in Fairbanks, Alaska, is a good example. The Planned Parenthood is on the outside of a Air Force base. It's right on the entrance as you go in the gate, and there's a lot of, it's one of the largest Air Force bases, so there's a lot of people there and women having babies and so forth. So this woman and another and the priest there want to have some kind of a crisis pregnancy center. So they're looking for buildings. They read my book. They call me once in a while. And I kind of dropped the ball because that's a long way.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to go up last winter. It was 38 below zero the day I was talking to them.
Yeah, I'm thinking
can we
that's
wait
not...
till June? So I'm waiting maybe June, but I don't have the money to fly up there. So I said to them, if you could raise the money, I'll come up and I'll speak to a group. Now, I haven't heard lately, so maybe. But it's a lot of money for them to come up with.
Sure.
Me. But so maybe we can do it long distance until... that's the way I'm thinking. But on the other hand, if I come there, it helps them a lot because they see somebody who would tell them how. That's what happened in New Hampshire. I came there. I talked to people. People said, hey, well, they can do it in Worcester. Why can't we do it in Manchester? It's similar cities. And then they get some of the people who are trying to start this begin to get allies because they begin to believe too. It's kind of like having faith and having confidence.
Right. It's infectious.
Yeah, if they can see somebody who can do it, has done it, they begin to believe too, and that's important. That whole part of it, maybe I should go up there to Buffalo to Kathy's old town and do
now,
the same.
As far as now Springfield, the organization there, they're up and running.
Yeah, they're up and running.
And how long did it take them to get to that point?
About 2 years.
2 years.
2 years from the. From the beginning, when I gave a speech at the dinner there, and then about 2 years after that, we were open, and they're still getting things going, training people, and
mm-hmm.
they're trying to buy an ultrasound, so forth and so on. But they're doing fine. They're saving babies, and they're open.
So, like, if somebody in Norwich. You know, we have an ideal situation because, you know, there's a Planned Parenthood in Norwich.
Yes.
There's also an OBGYN right across the street, which is really evil because
I saw him.
They...
He's the guy that does the abortion.
Yeah. But it would be ideal because the Planned Parenthood there, nobody even knows Planned Parenthood's there. And if there was something like our building, a little bit more visible, you know, it might draw...
Because it's inside with a bunch of others.
Right.
It's like Springfield has something like that. Springfield is the Planned Parenthood is in the middle of a whole bunch of other medical stuff.
It's like incognito,
yeah.
A lot of people that don't even know that it's there.
Yeah. So if we had a building close by with a big sign, you'd get a lot of people coming, women coming in.
Yeah. So it would take how many people generally do you think does it take to really start the ball rolling?
We had a board of directors at the Springfield. I was on the board of directors. It was about 12, 11 or 12. And then other people would come too. And then it became more like 7 or 8. There was the cadre.
A core, right, yeah, right.
And then out of that group came the director, who's a businessman. He works for a big insurance company there, and his wife, who's in charge of the training everybody. Mm-hmm. And they came and got trained, yep, at Problem Pregnancy. But there was 6 or 7 really solid every day, and it's still there, and it's growing.
Right.
So, but the money, that place was very, very fortunate that there was a chunk of money that came available that I was able to help to get for them.
Oh, like a grant?
It was 60 grand on one and,
wow,
5 grand on another.
Wow.
So they got that money to begin with. But see, that's not because of me, it's because of God. And that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. If you're there and you're doing stuff, it's like if you're doing the right thing, God provides. And you get volunteers too.
Yeah, right when you need them, and especially when you're at like your lowest, when you think, oh my gosh, it's not going to survive.
So they're not even tapping into that 60. That 60, they're raising money to keep the thing going, and that 60 is still sitting there, as far as I know. Maybe they might tap a little bit on advertising, but not much. So,
but they're hoping to get an ultrasound.
Yeah, I actually had a freebie, but it was too big for them. People call me on. I had two free ultrasounds. But one of them was old and one of them was too big. So they're going to get one from the Knights probably.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's
a good organization. Yeah. They do like to provide.
Yes, they do.
The funds for the ultrasounds, and they do. They save babies.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they're not every time.
No, that's for sure.
And as some of our guests have seen, that sometimes the ultrasounds actually lead the doctors to tell them, you know, that there's something wrong and they should abort the baby. So
yes.
We got to really walk a fine line.
Yes, that's true.
All the time, no matter what you're doing.
You're right.
But they do often change hearts.
Absolutely, the ultrasound is maybe 80% of the women who I mean, that's where it used to be. Maybe it's less now. But it used to be 80% of the women who wanted an abortion, when they came into the abortion, the ultrasound would change their mind. It takes a little work too, though. You know what it's like. It's not just immediate. They see their baby and they change.
Yeah.
It takes a little counseling.
A little finesse.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for all the work you're doing for
women and their babies. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you've learned something. We hope to talk to your family and friends about the things that you learned here. And when you look in the mirror the next time, you'll realize yours too is the face of pro-life. Please join us again next time.